Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Joining us now here on the flagship podcast is longtime, columnist for the Oklahoman. He's been the sports editor, the assistant sports editor. He's done it all. One of the most respected voices, certainly in the Big 12, and now headed to the SEC. Of course, he does it all for the Oklahoman, Barry Trammell. Barry, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us here on the flagship podcast.
Well, I'm doing all right, Chip. I'm immersing myself in SEC culture. I'm actually on vacation, so I've now been in five SEC states: Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. So headed to the beach today.
Headed to the beach, and I've gotten Barry up bright and early at his hotel this morning. So we appreciate the time, Barry, and. You know, obviously, what a week. I mean, it still seems a bit surreal from the time that the news broke in the Houston Chronicle, Brent Zwerneman's article saying that Texas and Oklahoma had been in contact with the SEC about joining the SEC. And then Monday, they notify the Big 12 they want out. Tuesday, they apply for admission to the SEC. Thursday, the presidents vote them in. And on Friday, we finally hear from the principals as they address the regents before the regents vote in Texas and Oklahoma, accept the invitation to join the SEC. Barry, just your thoughts.
Well, I think I'm like everybody. I was stunned when it happened. I read a quote from somebody. I can't remember who it was. It was an anonymous source. I think it was a Big 12 source of some kind who, when they saw the report, they didn't believe it because everything seemed to be going so well in the Big 12. And, you know, I was sort of the same way. It couldn't be true. But turns out it was true. OU and Texas really didn't clue anybody in to their concerns financially and long-term and those kinds of things. They hit it pretty well, but it was absolutely true. And really far down the road, that's what's clear to me, is this has been, you know, this has been a year-long process or so. So, just stunning to most of us, but it sort of reinforces your belief in mankind that people can keep a secret. We had the 12-team playoff that Bob Bowlesby, Greg Sankey, and a couple other guys kept under their hat for over a year, and now this. So, heck, maybe Americans aren't as loose-lipped as we thought.
Well, I found it interesting, Barry, that Oklahoma under David Boren had knocked on the SEC door previously. I think Solo also in an attempt to bring Oklahoma State with them. And those ventures were unsuccessful. Now you have Joe Harris as the president at Oklahoma, and Joe Harris and Jay Hartzell make this work. And Oklahoma State is not a part of it. I thought there were some interesting comments from Joe Harris to the regents, but your thoughts on Oklahoma, their previous ventures to try to get into the SEC, and now it's happening.
Yeah, you know, look, 11 years ago when it looked like the Big 12 would implode, everybody was in talks with all kinds of people. You know, the PAC was the most public potential Pac-16 with OU and Texas and OSU, and for a while maybe A&M or whoever, and those eventually sort of fell apart, and OU we looked at the SEC, wanted to take OSU with them. The SEC was not all that fired up about that prospect. Bob Stoops did not want to go to the SEC. He didn't want to go to the Pac. He wanted to stay in the Big 12. And eventually, you know, David Bourne said, well, you know, we're not going without OSU. And they sort of patched the Big 12 back together. And it worked out great for a long time, for another decade. But, you know, things change. David Bourne's not the president anymore. Burns Hargis isn't the president at OSU anymore. That brotherhood, that kinship that they seem to have is it's not a bad relationship now between the leaders, but it's not any kind of commitment to stick together, which may be news to OSU, but that's how OU feels. So changing landscape, and now it turns out that maybe OU and Texas are more tied closely than OU and OSU, which is sort of startling to anybody, but that clearly is where we're at.
Yeah, that relationship, it is fascinating, the personalities in the leadership role and how those mesh together, because Donnie Duncan and DeLoss Dodds helped form the Big 12 back in 1994. DeLoss Dodds and Joe Castiglione had a great relationship. It soured under Steve Patterson and then has come back together with Chris Del Conte as the athletic director. I think a lot of people look at Oklahoma and say, why? Why would you do this? You own the Big 12. You've dominated the Big 12, won six straight Big 12 titles, 15 of 21 Big 12 titles in football. Is that, do you have a good sense of why? Why now?
Well, I mean, I think it's mostly financial. You know, the tea leaves of the last year have not been good for the Big 12. When the when Fox and ESPN declined to open up exclusive contract extension negotiations, that gave them pause. The CBS getting out of the business with ESPN taking over the SEC and what is it, whatever that
24.
Contract, yeah, and you know, just an unbelievable contract, and the marriage of the SEC and the ESPN, and you know, to the exclusion of anybody else, it's sort of daunting. You know, OU wants to, it's had a great run here in the last several years, but it hadn't won the title, the national title, and that's what it wants to do. And I think the Sooners felt from a financial and maybe even a competitive standpoint that was going to get harder and harder to do. So, you know, the idea that the SEC might be a better path sort of crystallized. And then along comes the 12-team playoff proposal that made the biggest stumbling block to OU and the SEC was, well, how are you going to get the playoffs 4 out of 6 years like you've done? Well, if they go, they expand the thing, well, then it's a lot easier. Turns out it may not expand because of OU and Texas jumping ship. But anyway, I think it's mostly financial. The money is just so outrageous that what OU and Texas can make. And I also think there was a growing resentment in the Big 12, among at least OU, maybe Texas too, at how these two schools were carrying everybody. You know, OU believes that OU and Texas represent 100% of the Big 12's worth. Now, I think that's not exactly the truth, but it's definitely, you know, they're getting 10% of the television contracts and, you know, provide 80%, 90% of the worth of the television contract. And I think there was some natural resentment that settled in on that. And eventually, I think they came to the conclusion that, you know, let's do something about it.
Talking to Barry Trammell, and Barry, I was told Fox tried to get in front of Texas and Oklahoma to tell them, if you go independent, we'll pay you what we were paying the entire Big 12 and fill your schedule with Big 10 and Pac opponents those teams are primarily a Fox property, but nothing could slow the SEC train.
Yeah, no. And, you know, that's that independent stuff. That's awfully alluring. It's awfully fascinating and interesting. Sounds like fun. But when you get to February and your basketball team's been playing, you know, Oral Roberts and Texas Rio Grande Valley, when, you know, everybody else is playing conference games, it's not so great. And all the other championships, you know, Texas had a great, has a fantastic athletic program, just won the Learfield Cup, as Longhorn fans know. So, I mean, you got to think about things besides football. I know football rows the boat. I know that's what everybody's mind centers on, but Texas and OU both take pride in their athletic departments, and both have had great success, and they got to look out for softball and swimming and volleyball and all these other sports. So it's not like the SEC is going to hold those back. We're going to enhance those in all likelihood. So, you know, from just a purely selfish standpoint, this was the great move for both. The downside is it hurts a bunch of old friends and comrades that you really don't have anything against. I mean, OU doesn't. They don't want to hurt OSU. They feel bad about Iowa State and Kansas State. I mean, they've been in a league with Kansas State and Iowa State since 1920. That's 101 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, they feel bad about that, but not bad enough to stay. And, you know, I assume Texas has some sort of the same thoughts about Tech and whoever, but it's just one of the sad realities of the modern athletic landscape is that the bridge between the haves and the have-nots is growing, and the haves want more and more. You know, the one thing rich people want is more money. They don't generally want to give it away. They want more of it, and that's embodied by the athletic departments at OU in Texas.
Yeah. Talking to Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman, we'll take a quick break here on the Flagship Podcast. Come right back with Barry, get into some more of the comments from the OU president to OU regents on Friday. We'll do that next right here on the Flagship Podcast.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Back now with Barry Trammell here on the Flagship Podcast. Barry Trammell, a longtime voice of reason for the Oklahoman, covering the Big 12, covering OU, Oak State. And Barry, some interesting comments from Joe Harris. First of all, let me get your thoughts. I don't know Joe Harris like I knew David Boren. What do you, tell us about Joe Harris, the new OU president.
Well, he's a long time, well, he's a lifelong Oklahoman. He was sort of a born protege in his younger days in terms of he was on the staff early, became dean of the law school at a fairly young age, very personable, just incredibly personable fellow, very smart, has not really, you know, he was the interim president for a year or so, and then became permanent president. So he's been in charge, I don't know, 2.5 years maybe now, but really hasn't made a huge public imprint, I would say, but clearly did a good job during COVID. It was an alarming time for every university. So steered the university through that with no layoffs. People were very impressed by that. But very interested in athletics, big fan, and really communicates well. This will give him a much higher profile with Oklahomans and with Texans and everybody else, this SEC stuff. But he's the guy that really makes his case well when he wants to, you know, get a point across. And sort of does it without, you know, I love David Bourne, but, you know, he had a good sized ego. And Joe Harris is able to communicate with sort of out without that side of it, sort of a turnoff to a lot of people. So I think he'll do well. And I think he can communicate with everybody and be a pretty good voice for not just OU, but the state of Oklahoma.
So it sounds like your timeline matches up with the timeline that I've heard, and that is that Texas and OU officials met about a year ago to start talking about what how are you feeling about things before attempt at renegotiations is sort of being used as the reasoning for Texas and OU going to the SEC. It sounds like the conversation started before that, which happened in, you know, the earlier part of this year, and then things got more, you know, they revved up about the time that the Big 12 and ESPN and Fox, you know, ESPN and Fox saying, hey, we're in no hurry here to renegotiate. Then things heated up, and it sounds like lawyers were used to do the communicating with the SEC to keep everything completely in that tight little circle. Do you get a sense for who was more eager, or, you know, in the initial stages of the conversations between Texas and Oklahoma?
No, I don't. It's a good question. I don't have a good feel for what was going on in Austin. Virtually anything I know is just what OU people told me, and I don't know if that's the greatest barometer. So I know that eagerness is probably not the right word. I mean, I think the mood in Norman, I think, from leadership was this is something they sort of regret having to do, but they feel like they have to do it. Because the truth is the Big 12 did work well for OU. You know, they're back on one of their great runs in football, and the other sports have done really well. So, and like I said, they do feel bad about the people they're leaving behind, but sort of the impression I get is they feel like they have to do it. It's a changing world. We see it with the decentralization of the NCAA. Conference administration is going to be more important than ever. Clearly, the Big 12 is not a conference with the stature of the Big 10 or the SEC. Oklahoma feels like it needs to be in a conference that's at the top, not just competitively, but sort of politically. So I think all those things just coming together is what sort of made them think about this. And I know that OU considered, I don't know about actually talking, but I know that OU considered the Big Ten for themselves and the Longhorns, not by themselves, and just thought, you know what, the SEC is better fit culturally, it's a better fit competitively, recruiting-wise, it's perfect. So I just think at some point in this last year, whatever the timeline was, that they just decided this is something we need to do. It's not something they used to want to do. I mean, I know that, you know, Bob Stoops had no desire to go to the SEC 10 years ago, and most administrators didn't either. Some were lured by the Pac-12. The academic stature of the Pac really appealed to a lot of university officials. But not the SEC, but things change. And the having Texas on board with whoever was rowing the boat, I don't claim to know who was pushing the other one, but knowing you had a partner in Texas made it a lot easier because, you know, an OU official told me they want three things, really. They wanted to preserve the Red River rivalry. They wanted to preserve Bedlam. And they wanted financial vitality. And he said, with this, we get two of the three, And, you know, we don't get to take OSU with us, and they're sad about that. But hopefully they can keep the rivalry and the series alive. So they got most of what they sought for the future.
Yeah, Joe Harris saying we wanted to stay with Oklahoma State, but the market we were dealing with wouldn't allow for it and thought it was good enough for the state of Oklahoma that OU would do it. Otherwise, there would be no schools from the state of Oklahoma in the SEC. Talking to Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman, and Barry, ESPN has been a central figure, at least in the mind of Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, and the cease and desist letter that was sent to ESPN saying stop talking to Big 12 schools and stop talking to other conferences about Big 12 schools, basically alluding to tortious interference here. What are your thoughts on ESPN's role in this?
Well, I mean, clearly ESPN's involved because they're the ones paying all that money. As much as, you know, USA Today has run a study, and they, you know, we heard perhaps $60 million at the start for OU and Texas and the other SEC schools in conference payouts. USA Today ran a study and a formula, and they think it could be as much as $73 million when this thing gets up and running. So that's ESPN money. So they're heavily involved. They had to be brought into the loop, and so that OU and Texas could get a gauge on what the payoff could be. Of course, ESPN's tie-in with the Longhorn Network is further complicates all that, and trying to get out of it or figure out what to do with it. Where the intrigue comes in, as far as I can tell, is ESPN involved at all in doing what Bob Bowlesby accused it of doing, which is tear down the Big 12 even after Texas's departure? I don't know. That seems a little far-fetched to me. That's not very smart business if that's the case. I don't even know why Big 12 schools would want to be even involved in such talks. You know, joining the American Conference. Golly, why don't you just burn your stadiums down if that's what your end game is? So I don't know what's going in there, but clearly for years, networks have been heavily involved, ESPN more than anybody. And now, you know, they're right in the middle of everything. So we're going to have to get used to the fact that a business entity like ESPN is basically a partner, more than just somebody that writes a check. I mean, it's basically part of the business model of a conference like the SEC. I don't know what's happening in terms of the political fallout. I don't know. ESPN will be involved, I think, in the negotiations to figure out what to do with OU and Texas trying to get to the SEC as quick as possible. The Big 12 payouts, the grant of rights, all that stuff. ESPN exerts a lot of power in college football, and it's regrettable that it's come to this, but it's probably not the least bit surprising. So we'll have to see how it goes, but make no mistake, ESPN will be right in the middle of it.
Yeah. Talking to Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman about Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. It's effective in 2025. The invitation from the SEC. Barry, what are you hearing in terms of Texas and Oklahoma getting out perhaps and joining the SEC before 25?
Well, I think, first of all, they'll do everything they can to get out. OU plans to get there as quick as possible, preferably 2022. Nobody likes a lame duck. It's not good for anybody. In the modern history of realignment, nobody goes more than, well, two seasons as a lame duck has been the maximum. A few ACC, Maryland, Rutgers, couple of the Big East to ACC schools. There have been so many, I get them mixed up. I think it was Syracuse and maybe Pitt had to play two seasons way back in the old days. Arkansas played two lame duck seasons in the Southwest Conference. But most of this has been, most of conference realignment is taken care of by the next season. You know, Nebraska, Colorado, A&M, Missouri, West Virginia, TCU, all of those were examples of school getting out of their conference by only playing one lame duck season. Some as few, you know, West Virginia and TCU became members of the Big 12 literally 8-9 months after receiving the invitation. So things can be worked out. Now, this is more money than usual, and this is more of a crisis for the Big 12 than usual, so that could hinder it. But I don't see any way that by at least 2023, OU and Texas aren't in the SEC. That's going to be just not a good situation for anybody, as well as the Big 12 schools want to get down the road to trying to figure out their own situation and you know, try to find a landing spot.
Yeah, and that echoes what I'm hearing. I think Texas is telling some of its recruits, ideally 2022, 2023 latest. Now, you know, that's certainly not coming from the mouth of the president of the university, but anyway, you'll take any little indication you can get at this point. Barry, Oklahoma State, I had a source, industry source, say Oklahoma State is probably the third most valuable entity in the Big 12 because of its consistency in football and all around. They were the second place finisher in the Director's Cup in the Big 12 behind Texas at number 18. What do you think Oklahoma State does?
Well, I think they're going to try to get in the Pac, form a, you know, an Eastern division of the Pac, make it a Pac 16. I don't know if it can happen, though. Academically, it's not what the Pac, you know, looks for. They're not looking for land grant institutions. They're looking for highbrow academics. Culturally, it's not a good fit. You know, this may be news to a lot of people, but Stillwater, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma in general, not exactly walking in lockstep with Berkeley, California. So, you know, it's a lot of things in the way. 10 years ago, OSU was not all that attractive to the Pac-12. They wanted OU and Texas, and they were going to take some others just to get the Sooners and Longhorns. But without the Sooners and Longhorns, Pac is not naturally disposed to say, hey, I like some of those Big 12 teams. But the landscape has changed, and the Pac-12 is not as strong as it thought it was going to be. It's not as strong as it was. They have some serious they have distribution problems with the Pac-12 network, but they also have ratings problems with their games on ESPN and Fox. An OSU-West Virginia game, I was looking at it the other day. One of the bright spots for Big 12 network, or for Big 12 telecasts over the last several years, was 2 or 3 years ago, OSU-West Virginia played at 2:30 on ABC and actually won the window. They beat the SEC game, which it wasn't an Alabama-Georgia type matchup. I forgot who was playing, Missouri, Tennessee, somebody. But anyway, OSU-West Virginia won the window. They beat a Notre Dame game, Notre Dame-Syracuse, I think, on NBC. And they beat USC-UCLA on Fox. So if I'm OSU, I'm taking that one little ratings for that day and say, listen, we can help you guys. You know, we're not Oklahoma, we're not Texas, but we got people that will watch our games. And maybe Fox, you know, Fox is the big loser, because, you know, they had that bunch of resources and promotions tied up into that big noon kickoff, which out here, of course, means 11 a.m., the bane of everyone's existence. And OU and Texas got hit with a bunch of those games. Now they've got no marquee games to slide into that. But I've told OSU officials through my writing, hey, you know, don't be mad at the Sooners. Don't hold grudges. Don't go and drop them. Embrace it.
Yeah.
Keep the Bedlam series. Go schedule as well as you can. They've got some interesting games coming up. They got Alabama home and home on later this decade. They've got some other good non-conference schedule. They got Arkansas a couple of times. And I said, beef up that schedule. Tell them, listen, we got some good teams coming in. We'll give you OU. We'll have an OU game every other year that you can have. Put it at 11 a.m. So that's the way they can sell it is, hey, we can beef up your Fox contract in ways that maybe make it presentable for you guys to sort of keep your status. Otherwise, it's going to be tough. You know, Fox has Big Ten. They can put it at noon, 11 a.m. Central Time. But Michigan and Ohio State don't play each other every week. You know, a whole lot of times it's Ohio State, Indiana. And a whole lot of times, you know, ESPN's got that, you know, got that game. And what you're going to see is when Fox and ESPN, or that dual contract they have, when they go to picking games, ESPN's going to pick the best Big Ten game first every time, just to cripple Fox. So they really got to beef up that Pac-12 package. And Oklahoma State's a team that can do it. You know, they don't have the national brand of OU or Texas, but they do have sort of a national reputation for winning. They do have a big offense. People know about their offense. They got cool uniforms, and they got Mike Gundy's mullet. So they need, you know, they gotta promote that stuff. And maybe, you know, Tech, TCU, OSU, and Kansas State would be enough of a lure to create a pretty good Eastern division. And then you could have, you know, USC and Oregon would come out here every once in a while, play that game at 11 a.m. You know, Southern Cal at OSU or Oregon at TCU. That could be, you know, you can live with that as a big noon kickoff if you had to. So to me, that's how I would sell the pack. Otherwise, their options, I don't think they have any other than trying to keep the Big 12 together, patch it together, Brigham Young and Boise State, maybe. You know, they've got some television cachet. Try to do something there. It's going to be a big come down in money, but that might be their best plan B.
So Tech, OSU, K-State, and TCU?
I think that's my four. And TCU's a tough one because they don't want any private schools. But, you know, maybe TCU could point out they've taken Christian off the name. They're not going by Texas Christian anymore. It's just TCU, you know. I don't know if the Pac would – it's true, but I don't know if the Pac would believe it. But, you know, that's the best I can see. You know, maybe an Iowa State gets involved. I'm hopeful Iowa State can find a spot in the Big Ten. I don't know if that'll happen. I love the Cyclones. Love everybody up there. I worry about them. But I'm hopeful they can get into the Big Ten. If not, maybe Iowa State could slide into one of those packed slots. But it's just also unknown. And it's long odds for any of this because none of it makes great financial sense. It's a risk for Fox. It's a risk for the Pack. And I don't know if they'll pull the trigger, but they might have to because otherwise – they've got no other options in trying to maintain some footing in this increasingly SEC-dominated world.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Typically, you don't see schools jump conferences unless they can bring a full share of revenue to the table and not end up diluting the pot or the other schools. And that's what you're getting at when you say it doesn't make great financial sense, but I also think you're right in the sense that the Pac-12 has been desperate to get into the central time zone. They were trying to do that back in 2010 when they had the invitation to the six Big 12 schools so that people can see their teams play. Otherwise they're playing it in the middle of the night and no one on the East Coast sees Oregon or USC or UCLA. So it is fascinating, and I agree with you. Fox is getting leveraged here. Barry, anything else that you think is important right now that, you know, as this waiting game now begins for Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC?
Oh, I think it's going to be culture shock for OU and Texas. Not necessarily. I don't mean the atmosphere at football games, but for so long, OU and Texas were sort of the big dogs in their conference. Texas down in Southwest Conference, OU and the Big Eight, and they formed the Big 12 and came together. And I know Texas got that reputation of being the big villain that everybody hated. Nebraska, you know, put up billboards to ferment that belief and still talk about it. They can't talk about the football team, so they still talk about Texas more than they talk about the Cornhuskers. But the truth is, Texas threw its weight around, but you know what? OU did too, and OU was sort of happy to do it and let Texas get all the blame for it. You know, there's not going to be a lot of throwing your weight around in the SEC boardroom. They're going to go in there with one friend each, and that's each other. And they're going to have to negotiate. They're going to have to network, and they're going to have to make new friends. And they're going to have to sort of listen to the commissioner. You know, we've had a culture in the Big Eight, and I assume it was that way in the Southwest Conference. Don't really know, but I assume it was, where the commissioner was not real strong. It was not a top-down type organization. And then the Big 12 formed the same way. And I think Bob Bowlesby actually changed that a little bit, probably not a lot, but some. But for literally their whole histories, they've really not been part of a strong central government when it comes to conferences. And they're going to a place where that's the way it is. You know, Greg Sankey sort of calls up Kentucky and says, listen, OU and Texas are coming, and you're going to make $16 million more a year, so you're going to like it, so I don't want to hear anything about it. That's sort of the way it goes in the SEC, and that's not what OU and Texas are accustomed to. They're going to have to adjust to that. It really won't affect the media much or the fans at all, but people on the inside, they're going to have to get used to that. For 20, 30 years, you know, OU and Texas have sort of had a high brow look at recruiting, saying, you know, that's a pirate ship down there. Well, they've joined the pirate ship. So, you know, how you adjust to that with all the recruiting craziness that goes on, they're going to have to change the way they recruit and some of their methods. And, you know, I assume try to stay above NCAA rules, although who knows if there are going to be any NCAA rules, you know, with the Constitutional Convention coming. And NIL, so the whole thing's just, in some ways, it's a wild, wild west with very little oversight. So it's going to be a big change administratively for OU and Texas. But like I said, they've got each other, so you know maybe they can soldier through.
Barry Trammell, Barry, great insight as always. Enjoy the conversation. And thanks so much for joining us here on the Flagship Podcast. For Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman, I am Chip Brown of Horns 24/7. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to the Flagship Podcast. Until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.